For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And the Carolina Panthers find themselves looking to draft their next franchise quarterback. And to me, Joe, the indications are that it's going to be C.J. Stroud. But Frank Reich, he's not going to give the game away. The head coach met with the media yesterday, and he talked about all four quarterbacks, all four, because we have to keep up appearances, that all four.
Chuck Amato with the four running backs. Yes, three of them never played. He's
like, you know, which of the four do you like? Because, you know, we're really discussing all four.
How many of the four quarterbacks you guys have targeted are you comfortable with that could be the guy?
Like, really? I think that's a funny question. I think they're all have really good traits. I think they all have really good traits. I'm excited about all of them. You know, Scott and I, and all kidding aside, you know, we were having a conversation. I love this for the NFL, right? You got four guys who are going to make an impact in this league. I do believe all four of these guys will make an impact in this league. So, you know, and excited to see them and excited to see how that plays out. It'll look different for every one of them. Will have a different journey, right? And then there's some other guys who, you know, we're not even talking about who I think are going to make an impact in this league. So it's good for the NFL.
That's Frank Reich, head coach, Carolina Panthers.
Best Rob Lowe NFL hat. Yeah. I'm just here to watch them play.
Hey, man.
Hope everyone has fun. That was pretty good.
They all got great traits. He was asked specifically about Bryce Young, the guy that you think the Carolina Panthers will end up taking.
We're first and foremost just looking for playmakers, right? You look at everything, every trait that a guy has, and you weigh it, right? You weigh it. The thing is if there's 10 categories that you look at in a quarterback or any player for that matter, the real question is not how to evaluate each of those categories. That's a part of the question. A big part of the question is how much are you going to weight each of those categories? So they're all a factor. Everything's a factor. But ultimately, it really comes down to being a playmaker, you know, being a guy who can make plays all over the field. And that happens a lot of different ways.
Yeah, so there's Frank Reich, you know, really giving you nothing on a question specifically about Bryce Young. Now, the one thing that Frank Reich wanted to let everybody know, and we see this in the actions by the Carolina Panthers this offseason, it's how they've built their coaching staff and how they've gone about free agency. And Reich talked about the message that their free agency moves are making.
Excited about how the roster is continuing to be built. Having a chance to be active in free agency, don't take that for granted from Dave and Nicole Tepper and the support that they've given. And really, what he and I have talked about and Scott is the message that that's sending, right? The message that that's sending to our fan base, the message that that's sending to our team, our coaching staff, that, you know, we mean business. And so we're making the steps necessary to continue to improve this team.
So that's Frank Reich. Here's Scott Fitterer, the general manager, on setting up a roster to help a rookie right away. That's what these moves have been about. And obviously they have to put the right quarterback in place to make this work.
That was the intention behind a lot of what we did over the last, you know, few weeks, is to have, you know, to give those guys the weapons they need to be successful. Like I said, we like our offensive line. To bring in a Miles Sanders, not only is he a good runner, but he's a good receiver out of the backfield, so he's the outlet. Hayden Hurst going down the seam, you know, great hands. It's a dimension that we're adding to our offense because Frank uses the tight end so much, and he's a player that they identified that they wanted. To have Adam Thielen, who can separate quickly, Terrace Marshall, you know, who's on the come right now, LaVisca, like that's a really good group to surround a young quarterback with, and he's got playmakers now.
Again, that's Scott Fitterer, the general manager of the Carolina Panthers. Joe, I will admit I am self-aware that I can be a little too online And the one thing that is starting to annoy me is that any move that the Panthers make, I see an image of Scott Fitterer with, like, the based eyes, like they're glowing, like, oh, man, he's, like, 8 moves ahead of everybody else, or, you know, he's in on every deal, or Frank Reich doing, like, Frank Reich evaluating quarterbacks, and he's, you know, Thanos with the final gem that he needs, and he just has to snap, and the NFC South will crumble in front. Like, Panthers Twitter is on one right now. And maybe I spend too much time on Reddit, where they're kind of in the same boat, too. We're like, look at them playing 4D chess. This is like every team that does this. All of the moves seem good. It's all for naught if they don't got a damn quarterback.
Yeah, I want to go back to what Frank Reich said about how all 4 will be good for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't happen often. The transition from college to pro has changed in the sense that the pros are now running more of a college-style offense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even 10 years ago, there were questions, can Cam Newton go from Auburn to the NFL? Right. How can he ever make this transition, right?
That's why Blaine Gabbert, you have to give him a serious consideration.
We don't have that question mark as much anymore. And if you just go to 2020, you could find a draft where 4 quarterbacks made it. Now, it wasn't the first 4 taken. We had Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, right? You would say that those 3 guys have made it.
Yeah.
For sure. And then Jalen Hurts was taken in the second round of that draft. I don't think there's any question after the year he just had with Philly that he's made it. The question mark for that one's going to be Jordan Love, who was taken in the first round. Hurts wasn't. So does it happen that 4 quarterbacks will make it out of the same draft? Sure. But more often than not, it's not all 4. Let's go to 2019. Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins were the 3 quarterbacks taken in the first round. Kyler Murray has had his moments, but I wouldn't want him. And I think that's what's hurting Bryce Young right now, the size of Kyler Murray, the size of Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones just had an amazing playoff game where he looked like a combination of Lamar Jackson and Brett Favre when he played against Minnesota. And then he ran up against the Eagles defense, and he looked like Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and the poo-poo platter that we've seen
the Eagles defense
the last few years.
Eagles
in Charlotte.
Defense is pretty good. So.
So you're right. A lot of this is voodoo, and a lot of this is you almost have to go back to the Bill Parcells chart. How many starts did they have in college? What is their size? And, you know, bring them in, talk to them, and figure out, are they going to be on the same page as you are? How do they handle success? How do they handle failure? Because it's not going to be all paved with champagne and roses, especially that first year, Joe.
No.
And I think that's kind of changed. That has also changed in how we evaluate quarterbacks, because we think, well, you know, Justin Herbert came in and he looked like $8 million in his first year in the league. Yeah. Well, Justin Herbert's the exception. You know, guys are going to struggle. That's the way it is. It's normally how it is.
Height is something that people are obsessing over with Bryce Young. I also don't think it's height. I also think it's his
size.
Frame,
his frame,
too.
Yeah, he played at about 180 pounds at Alabama last year.
And folks are trying to, you know, say, well, look. You remember Frank Reich, he had a high grade on Russell Wilson, too. In fact, Frank Reich talked about it at his press availability yesterday. Here he is talking about how he viewed Russell Wilson, in 2012?
Everything matters. All those conversations matter, especially when it's, you know, Scott Fitter, you know, it's the GM, and he's talking about a guy like Russell Wilson, who, by the way, I had a very high grade on. You don't have to read anything into that, but I don't mind telling you that I had a high grade on Russell Wilson, okay? But don't read anything into it. I'm just saying that because all these people are putting this label on me that I only work with big quarterbacks. Don't read anything into that.
Did you have
I'm trying to play reverse psychology. No, that's the thing. I guess when you got the number one pick, the thing is right, we don't have to play games, right? I mean, it's not like we're trying to fool anybody. What we're trying to do is take all the time we can on the evaluation, right? Do we have inclinations? Do we have feelings? Do we have evals kind of written out on paper and in our minds? Yeah, we all do. And there's a lot of conviction, as Scott said, on some of these top quarterbacks. And you're right, the old adage, don't make a decision before you have to. We're going to take every second, every day, or every hour, every day to make this decision, and we still got plenty of time left.
That's Frank Reich, head coach, Carolina Panthers, invoking Russell Wilson as to not don't read too much into his frame, although I would make the argument that as short as Russell Wilson was at that time, you know, the 5'10 thing, his frame was completely different, okay? And I think that's why there's a difference between somebody like Russell Wilson and Bryce Young. Speaking of the evaluations, they're going to go on a pro day road trip. Darren Gann at Panthers.com pointing out that the whole crew is getting together and they're going to visit these various pro days. I think they know who they want. Why else would you move up to the number one spot? You move up because clearly you believe in a guy and he's not going to be there for you at nine. Or that you could move up to the five spot and get that person there. They truly feel that one of the quarterbacks that they wanted was going to be gone by the second pick. So how do you negate that? Well, you do what you did and you move up to the one spot. And this is why I think it's C.J. Stroud. You look at the history of what Frank Reich has worked with, what Frank Reich likes, and C.J. Stroud checks the boxes for that. There's less questions about that other than the mobility aspect of it. But we can go back to various press conferences with Frank Reich where he talks about almost, yeah, man, there's still a way a quarterback's got to play, right? He still has to be able to do it in the pocket, right? Well, what does C.J. Stroud do? What did we see from C.J. Stroud? The only knock on C.J. Stroud that honestly is the one that keeps coming up is, well, do you want to take an Ohio State quarterback? Are you sure? Do you want to look at the track record of Ohio State quarterbacks? Does that really matter? Does that really matter? If that's the case, then every quarterback from NC State should have been drafted one. Okay, but it didn't work
that
way.
Well, the Ohio State knock is you're playing with, it's kind of like USC.
Yeah.
You're playing with such a talented cast around you that you're maybe not used to.
Well, then what about Alabama? Like, you're playing with a pro team.
For a long time.
And now
that was a knock on Alabama.
We got like three Alabama guys now starting games.
It only takes one guy to change the narrative.
Exactly. Exactly. And that could be C.J. Stroud, honestly. And that's why I think it's going to be him. That's who they wanted. That's why they moved up to the one spot.
I will say the thing about the diligence, though, and I would say, yes, you're probably right that they knew, mm-hmm. but there's nothing wrong with going through the process. Whereas if you stayed at nine, you're going through a process where you don't even have a chance at three of the guys, right?
No, that's true.
So
that's
I think you do go up. You probably have an idea, but you shouldn't know until that last week of the draft that who you really want, because you want to go through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And not to go full draft story, but yeah, you want to call like – you do. You want to call the middle school coach. You want to call, hey, who showed up at your 21st birthday party? You got to do all of those things to make sure that you're dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete of Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, is it still true that a million is enough to retire on?
Tim, maybe and maybe not. The most important thing is to get a real plan that gives you income you never outlive. We'll give that away to the next 10 people. Call right now.
The number to call, 800-691-3215. Text TIM to 600-700 if you're interested in texting. Once again, that phone number is 800-691-3215 or text TIM to 600-700 for that deal.
I was looking up at ESPN during the break, Joe, and there's our guy, Mel Kiper, Mock Draft 3.0.
Uh-oh.
I was listening to a little bit of Canty and Carlin filling in for Greeny today, and he was previewing his mock draft 4.0.
Mel was,
which will be coming out here soon in about a week or two.
Oh, okay.
4.0 is almost out.
Yeah, we still have a month and 5 days to the draft.
I understand, but the fan fiction ain't going to stop.
No, you're right.
So
that's a month and 5 days, so keep going.
Mel Kiper's most recent fan fiction had the Colts moving up to take Will Levis in the three spot. I bring this up not to make fun of Mel Kiper, but to kind of crystallize the point that we were making in the previous segment about the Carolina Panthers and who they're going to draft. If this was about moving up to take one of the four guys you were comfortable with, they wouldn't have moved up to the one spot. It was about getting a specific guy. And I really do think it's C.J. Stroud. And Mel Kiper was on with Canty and Carlin earlier today, and he talked about how Stroud does fit the profile of what Reich wants at quarterback.
C.J. Stroud, he got the edge at the number one spot to the Carolina Panthers because he's the big quarterback that Frank Reich has preferred during his career in the National Football League. You're going to get back C.J. Stroud. If he could bottle what he did against Georgia and take that into the NFL throughout his career, he will be outstanding. But we didn't see that on a regular basis at Ohio State, that dual threat capability. Had the strong combine with a real good pro day, private workouts. He can ride that momentum from that Georgia game all the way to be the number one pick overall to the Carolina Panthers.
So that's Kiper, and he goes on to talk about why he has Stroud going overall number one.
Frank Reich has preferred the bigger quarterback in his history. That's why C.J. Stroud seems like the quarterback that right now, if you said, okay, well, why are you projecting Stroud number one? It's because of that exact fact. He's a lot bigger. He's coming off the outstanding game against Georgia. Strong combine. You wish he would have played like it against Georgia throughout the last 2 years at Ohio State on a regular basis. Hopefully he can bottle that and take it into the National Football League with him. So if you're asking me right now, it would say C.J. Stroud, but it's still really too close to call.
It's a really strange knock now that I think about it. The Big Ten's not good at football. The Big Ten has this fake reputation in when it comes to football, in my opinion.
Okay.
Ohio State plays what? Two games a year? There's usually one game on the road against Iowa, Northwestern, Penn State, which turns out to be interesting. And then their annual matchup with Michigan.
Yeah, that's
it.
Yeah, that's the game.
The rest of the league stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Spare me with Iowa. Save me Wisconsin. All right? They have a very particular brand of football. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Super white, 1950s, pre-segregation football, okay? Why would you waste the bullets in the chamber by running against teams you don't have to run against?
Makes total sense.
We're going to knock this guy for not running when he doesn't have to run.
Dude, it's just, it's like I said. Like, huh? I said.
Hey, if he can duplicate what he did against the country's best defense in the most important game of the year,
Yeah.
What else do you want him to do?
Exactly.
When they're beating Maryland by 60 points, yeah, you want him to pour it out?
We talked about
when they're
about
beating
this.
Illinois by 100 points, you want him to run a naked bootleg and get his head knocked in? That is total. Look, I get it. Mel Kiper, man, you got the greatest hustle going in the history of this business, all right? Total respect. However, that is completely asinine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, if only he could do what he did against Georgia. You know, the team that has 10 NFL guys on their defense. If only. As if that is the same of playing, you know, Buffalo on a Monday night at home. Buffalo Bulls,
yes,
on a Monday night in the MAC game of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whoo, man, I'm really impressed what he did on Tuesdays with Toledo. Give me a break, man. That is some hustling backwards thought process by our guy, the Viper.
Hearing that, it reminds me of a conversation we had with Bomani Jones a few weeks ago when we talked about C.J. Stroud, that we've now lived long enough and
yeah,
the game has changed enough that we're knocking the black quarterback for not
running.
Running. It used to be, no, he runs too much. No, his career is going to be short. Can't have that. We don't trust his arm. Now it's, hey, man, you know, could you show me some of that Jalen Hurts? Can you show me some of that Tua? Even Josh, I'll even take a little Josh Allen. Can you do that? It's funny how we've gotten this far. I guess that's progress. I don't know, but that's where we're at with
CJ Stroud.
Doesn't
feel like it to me.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. So here's a little lighthearted coach shade. And then we'll get to some more serious topics.
I was going to say, I don't think the Alabama one was lighthearted.
No, that wasn't lighthearted. This is from
I could have misread it, though.
This is from the Greenville News. Hold on a second. Let me tilt my head completely directly at my computer so I can read this as I get used to these progressive lenses. This is from the Greenville News. This is the headline. Dabo Swinney wants Clemson football international games. Quote, all we ever do is go to ... Winston-Salem. Somewhere our friend Jeremy Markovich, NC Rabbit Hole, is like, how dare you? Winston-Salem Avengers assemble. We must show Dabo that Winston has culture. Well, the full quote is he was talking about Brad Brownell and how he was jealous of Brad Brownell, and this has to be the only time he's ever been jealous of Brad Brownell, the head coach at Clemson. This is the slug from the story. Swinney also said he's a bit envious of Clemson basketball coach Brad Brownell and some of the faraway locales he's been able to take his team to play in recent years. Quote, all we ever get to do is go to like Winston-Salem and places like that. Brownell and the boys, well, they get to go to Hawaii, Italy. Hey, spread the love a little bit. End quote.
Yeah, we talked to Kelly Gramlich before.
Yeah.
She does that podcast with Eric McClain.
Mm-hmm.
They talk a lot about the ACC, but they're both Clemson people,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And she played basketball at Clemson, yeah, and he played football.
And I specifically remember they had one of the defensive linemen from Clemson on, and he talked about how much they love going to Wake Forest because mm-hmm. every time they win at Wake Forest, which is every time they play at Wake Forest,
right.
They get Krispy Kreme donuts. And it was like this whole thing about, oh, we get Krispy Kremes because we're going to Wake Forest. So, Dabo, come on, man. Pick another school to pick on. Pick another town to pick on.
He's not picking on anybody. That's the thing. Maybe he's saying that Winston-Salem is exotic for him.
But he'd like to go to an even more exotic place. I mean, we don't get to go anywhere. We get to go to Winston-Salem.
You get to see Pilot Mountain. Shout out to Wise Man Brewing. All sorts of fun stuff in Winston-Salem. Fiddle and Fish.
I don't think that boy is going to Fiddle and Fish.
Yeah, he's probably not. He probably likes the name, but yeah, he's probably not going to Fiddle and Fish. Okay, fine. Fair enough. So, of course, this has gotten people like, oh, because, you know, going to Clemson, South Carolina is as this exotic trip to take. Is there a Clemson, South Carolina?
There's a road. It has expanded with their popularity, but mostly when I go to Clemson, I go to Greenville.
Now, Greenville's a nice spot.
It actually is kind of nice.
The fact that you said there's a road.
There's a road.
There's a road.
There's a couple barbecues.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, is there an actual main drag in Clemson?
There's the Esso Club. There's a road that runs through the town that takes you by the stadium.
I've never been.
Oh, really?
I've never been to
Clemson. Oh, you should go once.
No, I was going to go at one point. This was back in, like, you know, I think it was the... I want to say it was the second national championship year. We were going to go, but then some things came up and we just didn't end up going.
No, it is a good college town.
Yeah.
There is a downtown.
Okay.
But mostly it is a road.
Yes.
That has all your usual things on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the famous Esso Club. But, you know, mostly it's just a college. Okay. You know, when Dabo wasn't running hot, nobody was like, hey, man, I need to go hang out at Klemp. No, that wasn't a thing.
Now, to your point
now
about,
that they are running hot, yeah, the development around there has been pretty good.
Now, to your point about Greenville, on the other hand.
Yeah, they've anytime you have an outdoor festival and I'm there, when you close the streets,
yes.
Like I'm talking like when you are allowed to close the streets and drink a beer and walk around a downtown area, I'm in.
Yeah.
It could be for a funeral. I am in because that's just the thing I like to do.
Then why aren't you living in New Orleans? Because they just do.
But then there's still traffic.
There's still random marching bands.
Well,
as you know,
though, I have a peak life of about 30 hours in New Orleans. After that,
I think most of us.
I think after that, it's.
Yeah, I think that's most of us. Anyway, Dabo's. We've gotten to the point with Dabo where the guy can't make jokes. He can't make jokes.
No one's really mad at him about.
Oh,
are
buddy,
they?
Dude, I'm telling you right now, man. Anytime
Josh
Dabo
Graham
tries
doesn't
to be
count as being mad.
I'm not talking Graham. I am talking about football fans. And anytime Dabo opens up his mouth, even if he's just trying to be like, ha ha, people are like, he has himself to blame. I mean, this is the same guy who went on the. You know, we've always believed in name, image, and likeness. His
right
name and likeness. I'm like, whoa, okay.
Jesus, yeah,
okay.
To me. I thought, without seeing this, only seeing the tweet, I thought this was a reference to Florida State and Georgia Tech playing in Ireland.
No.
Because
it was about Brad Brown.
There are two random ACC teams, last time I checked, have no link to Ireland at all.
Yeah.
Playing football in Ireland.
Professionals, it's time to supercharge your career at William Peace University's School of Professional Studies, the smart solution for working adults who want to earn a college degree. Our School for Professional Studies helps you balance work, family, and personal goals with affordable, flexible degree programs. Online, flexible, affordable. Attend classes when it fits your schedule. WPU offers various start dates, so why wait? Take control of your education. Your future is waiting. Explore our programs at williampeace.info/SPS. William Peace University, where your success takes center stage.
On average, people spend over a third of their life sleeping, yet most sleep disorders go undiagnosed.
I'm Megan Gigling, General Manager of Parkway Sleep Health Centers. Sleep struggles left untreated can lead to health problems and have a serious effect on your quality of life. We've served the Triangle for 20 years. Let us help you get the sleep you've been dreaming of.
If you're in need of a sleep study, a knowledgeable doctor, CPAP machine, or supplies, Parkway has you covered. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit parkwaysleep.com. Sound sleep, sound health.
Meanwhile, NC State gets to go to exotic Charlotte again. It was announced that NC State and Tennessee.
They're not going
to
want to do this anymore, probably.
Yeah.
This time.
Yeah, well, they're going in 2024 for the Mayo Classic to open up the season in September. In 2024, what is it, Carolina and South Carolina are doing that this upcoming season. But NC State and Tennessee in Charlotte to open up the year in 2024. Somebody bring David Amerson out as a team captain.
He was actually there for that the ACC championship game this year.
He was the legend.
Right.
And he is a legend for a lot of NC
State
fans.
NC State has lost, what, four in a row now?
Something like that,
in Charlotte, they lost the Mississippi State bowl game. They lost the South Carolina kickoff there. Yep. And they lost the Maryland, both of three in a row. They lost the Maryland this year in the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
So from some soft fun and frivolity, Coach Shade, Dabo, to more serious matters. So Alabama football cornerback Tony Mitchell was arrested and charged with possession of marijuana and intent to sell or deliver. That was the official charge. And the passenger in his car was also charged with the same crime, and he was carrying a concealed firearm without a permit. And that's a bit of a problem. And this was according to AL.com. Mitchell drove 141 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
While he evaded police, according to the police report obtained by AL.com. So, Nick Saban met with the media yesterday. And it's all the spring availabilities. And he had this to say about Mitchell being suspended from the team.
Tony Mitchell has been suspended from the team on all team activities until we gather more information about the situation and what his legal circumstance is. And, you know, I mean, guys, everybody's got an opportunity to make choices and decisions. There's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time. You got to be responsible for who you're with, who you're around, and what you do, who you associate yourself with, and the situations that you put yourself in. So it is what it is. But there is, you know, cause and effect when you make, you know, choices and decisions that put you in bad situations.
That word choice sounded intentional.
Yes, there's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time. That's the key. That's the key phrase. And if you're wondering, well, wait a minute, why does that sound familiar? Well, that was a turn of phrase that Nate Oates, Alabama's head basketball coach, used in relation to Brandon Miller. Quick context, if I have this correct. So Janae Harris was killed back in January, and police arrested former Alabama players Darius Miles and Michael Lynn Davis for allegedly shooting at a car that she was riding in near the campus. And police told a grand jury that Miller, Brandon Miller, their star player, supplied the gun for this shooting after being summoned to the eventual crime scene by Miles, who asked him to bring the weapon. And at a press conference, when it became clear that this was the case, Nate Oates really just had, he had a really bad press conference. And he said, look, college kids are out. Brandon hasn't been in any type of trouble, nor is he in any type of trouble in this case. Wrong spot at the wrong time. Again, we're talking about somebody being fatally shot. Again, that didn't go over well at that time. Nick, say what you want about Saban. He's been in Alabama for so long. He clearly cares about the reputation of the school. He cares about the reputation of the program. And he cares about the reputation of his program above all else. And the only way I can interpret this, and the whole thing with Nate Oates and Brandon Miller is its own topic. But I read this and I heard that, Joe, and I think to myself, Alabama saw what Nate Oates did, and he's like, no way in hell am I going to be associated with this kind of win above all else cost thing. And that's why he said what he said, as a way to signal, nah, I'm not doing that. Which is interesting, because
yeah, kind of coming at Oates there with the specific turn of phrase.
Yes.
It's one thing to stand up and say, hey, I'm not going to tolerate this on my team, right? I think we should all be to the point in 2023 where a marijuana charge is, come on now.
Well, I think it's 141
miles. But it's the
140.
Yeah. It's the driving.
It's the driving and,
this,
the,
right?
and
making a bad choice.
Making bad choices.
Right?
And again,
you're on
unpermitted
the team.
Weapon.
You represent the team.
Yes.
Right? So, yes, there's a gun charge. There's speeding. I just want to make sure we're not equating murder with marijuana.
Yes.
Okay. But I think, by using these specific words, he's obviously coming at Oates. And part of that probably is Oates is closing in on winning the national title.
Mm-hmm.
Is Nick Saban going to win another one of these things? The way that the world's working right now. I'm not saying he's being petty. I'm saying it almost feels like by using those words, mm-hmm. he seems to be trying to put Oates in a place.
Yes.
Like, hey, I run this school. I run this town. I run this state.
Yeah.
You don't.
It's interesting you put it that way.
Because otherwise, why would you use those specific words? Yeah,
maybe Nick Saban's just not really happy with the way that he's handled the Brandon Miller situation, and that's the way he's going to do it. Because, I mean, again, it's as Alabama continues to the Final Four, the Brandon Miller story just doesn't go away.
Sure.
There's going to be, because you've been to a Final Four.
Yeah.
All sorts of media shows up that has nothing to do with basketball because you're trying to get to different stories, and this is going to become a thing. And
Brandon Miller, who wasn't charged with anything.
No.
Which is what Nate Oates could have said, or, you know, hey, this is an ongoing. Yeah. Listen, it's a terrible tragedy.
Yes.
And it involved one of their players. So, like, it is a terrible tragedy.
And Miller is, unfortunately, at the center of this.
Right.
Because of the circumstances around it. To your point about Nick Saban and, hey, look, buddy, just so you know who runs things mm-hmm. around here and everything else. It is not too dissimilar to what happened at Kentucky between John Calipari and Stoops, the head coach.
Mark Stoops,
the head coach from Kentucky football. And that was just over John Calipari being upset that he didn't have a new practice facility.
Right.
Okay. And maybe this is just extracting more than there's actually there, but it is interesting that these two places, the balance of what is, you know, important or whatever, kind of shifts. At Kentucky, it might shift more towards football because that's where the money is, and Calipari has not done a good job here down the stretch. If Alabama wins a national championship in basketball, Alabama fans are not going to suddenly become hoopsters. Like, shout out to our guy Dimitri, who's an Alabama grad, and he only pays attention to basketball when they're good and it's something fun to do. And if they lose in the Final Four, Dimitri's not going like, unacceptable. We must. No, it's be like, oh, cool. Well, that was fun. We'll just go ahead and go back to caring about how spring practice looks at Alabama. So I don't think Nick Saban's sweating Nate Oates, if you catch my drift. I honestly
think it's an odd choice of words to copy Oates' words.
I think he's just upset at the way Nate Oates handled it. And he's letting it known that he would not have handled it that way. Now.
Now, if he had one star player as opposed to a roster of 80 star players, you know.
Maybe things
we all make choices different ways.
Maybe the calculus is
I'm
a little bit
saying.
Different. No, you're not wrong.
I mean,
you're not wrong, man. You're
it's
not
easy
wrong.
To be on the high horse when you're established.
It's the OG alongside Joe Gill. And look, Nick Saban's had to handle some things that did not go over well with the media before, too.
Sure.
Okay. So he's
consistent.
He's not immune to it.
And that's fair.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.